You are listening to Wake Up or Break Up with your host, LCB. I'm so excited you decided to join me today. Are you ready to get started? Let's go. You guys, this episode today is kind of near and dear to my heart because it is the conversation that I had with myself in order to start the healing process. And I know a lot of people may not see things the way that I see them. And I find myself giving this disclaimer a lot when I'm doing my podcast. Like, you may not agree, you may not see things, but it is what it is. You're listening to this podcast right now because you're curious about how I did things. You want to know my truth. So I'm just going to share it and I'm not going to try to make excuses for it because this is who I am and this is my journey and I'm owning it. As you should own your own journey. It's okay. It's okay. A lot of times when it comes to cheating, it always comes down to this dynamic of the cheater and the victim. Like if someone cheated on you, it's a free pass of now you are entitled to pity and to feel like the other person is to blame. You are released of all of the terrible shit you did in the relationship because you didn't take it that extra step further and cheat on the other person. And that makes you, I don't know, a good person. And it automatically makes the other person a bad person. If you listen to one of my question episodes, you already know I'm not a fan of this dyadic, two-sided, good or bad kind of things. I am a gray area kind of girl. I believe that it's not just black and white. There are definitely some in-betweens. And being of a mixed race, I can definitely testify that it's not just black and white. There's some brown, there's yellow. It's all kinds of colors. I'm a very colorful-minded person. And that being said, you guys, when it came to the cheating, a lot of people were supportive because they thought I was the victim and they wanted to help me. They wanted to support me. They wanted to shelter me. They wanted to empower me to leave my marriage and to start over and basically find myself and do all of this work and leave Joe in the dust because he's a cheater. He doesn't deserve a second chance. He messed up. End of story. The end. And it wasn't the end for me. I said before, when I found out about the cheating, it was at the start of the quarantine. And so I had a lot of free time. I did not have a job. I did not have to go to the gym because the gym was closed. I did not go anywhere because that was the rules of the time. I had to stay at home. And staying at home gave me a lot of time. Time to think, time to process, time to analyze, time to heal. It was beautiful, you guys. It was also intense. A lot of time by yourself is great, you know, in small doses, but months of staying inside and you're living with your mom, who you may not have the best relationship with. At the time, it did get better. And you have your son, so you're dealing with that. And you're dealing with co-parenting with a guy who cheated on you. And you're dealing with people slowly finding out as gossip spreads. And you're trying to reconnect socially because everything is closed down. And you just feel isolated. And it was beautiful and it was painful and it was definitely, I like to think of it as like a cocoon, and I was a little hungry caterpillar and I was just eating up all the negativity and all of the terrible things that happened in my life before that moment. And then I just went into my cocoon and I developed and I worked on myself and I just was chilling and I was just incubating. Or is that what eggs do? Whatever. But you guys, the process, the metamorphosis, if you will, one of the biggest steps was kind of realizing my role in the whole situation. It was not pointing fingers. It was not saying, oh, it was her fault, that stupid slut. She hooked up with my husband. She messaged him. She manipulated him. What a trifling hoe. That was fun to say, but it's not the truth. And I definitely didn't think that about Joe either. Like that horny hornball asshole douchebag. I can't believe he did that. He betrayed me. He broke. I mean, yeah, I did a little bit, but then I had to get over it. Like, yeah, the cheating was the initial shock. It was the initial slap in the face. But then I had to look at the bigger picture. Like, it wasn't just one event. It's not like Joe woke up that morning and was like, I would like some new vagina and I'm tired of Elsie's. I need to search the world for another one. And no, that's not what happened. Like, it's a buildup. You know, things happened in our relationship. Things fell apart. And I had to examine that, because if in my heart there was that tiny, tiny, tiny bit of heart left that still loved Joe, that wanted to fight for Joe, that wanted to fight for our relationship, that teeny, tiny part, in order for that teeny, tiny seed of love to be cultivated and to grow and to be nourished, I had to take responsibility for my role in what killed the marriage plant prior, right? I had to be able to say, okay, Elsie, it's obviously not all Joe's fault. It's obviously not all the other girl's fault. What is your role in this? And when I got past the victim mode, I got past the poor me. Oh my God, he cheated on me. They betrayed me. I'm so hurt. When I got past that shit, you guys, it was so effing liberating. And let me just tell you some of the things that I was able to understand, acknowledge, and accept. Here they are. Number one, I realized that I had postpartum for about 2.5 years. And I have heard people say, Elsie, that's not an excuse for your husband to cheat on you. You were going through a rough time. He should have been patient. I hear you, girl. I hear you loud and clear. I also understand that because of my postpartum, that I didn't choose it. It happened, right? Because of this chemical imbalance, I chose to disconnect myself from Joe. I chose to not give a shit anymore. I literally remember this conversation. I was in the kitchen. Joe was coming home from a 5 a.m. class, and he looked really sad. And he looks at me in the kitchen and he's like, Elsie, I don't know how much longer I could keep pouring love into you and not receiving anything back. It's really hard for me. And I looked at his beautiful face and I did not effing care. And I'll tell you why I didn't care. I did not care because I feel terrible saying this, but it's my truth, so whatever. I had never planned to have a child. Like, that was not in my life plan. And I had a child because Joe wanted a child. He wanted a son. And thank God our first one was a son, because we were one and done. So I had this child and I sacrificed my body, and my body was not the same, you guys. And I don't mean not the same like stretch marks and saggy skin. I'm saying like, yes, stretch marks, yes, saggy skin, but high blood pressure. Like, I felt like my head was going to explode. Like, I almost had a stroke. I'm talking about my uterus is like in another position that is very bizarre, and it's uncomfortable sometimes to be intimate and to do things. Like, my hair fell out, like over 50% of my hair fell out. So when he said he didn't know how much longer he could keep pouring love and not receiving it back, I did not care. I did not care at all. I was like, F you. I sacrificed my body. I had this baby. I gave you what you wanted. The least you can effing do is suck it up and deal with my bullshit for however effing long it lasts. And I was okay with that, you guys. I was okay with that. And that was the problem. That was one of the problems. The other problem, number two, would be the fact that we worked in a group fitness facility. We helped people transform their bodies and their mindsets. With that type of commitment, you guys, there is little room for error. There's little room for free time and taking care of yourself. So dealing with a postpartum depression and not giving a shit about Joe, and then saving all of my reserved energy after breastfeeding Banks for 2 years, having him co-sleep with us or with me for 2 years straight every single night, it became a lot. And whatever energy I had left, I did not give to Joe. I gave to our clients, and I poured so much love and attention into my clients. I would listen to their stories. I would console them with their frustrations and their worries. When they talked about their relationships, I listened and I absorbed all of their energy. I took it in like it was my own. And it did two things when I did that. One, it made me feel like, okay, well, these people are going through a lot. My stuff with Joe is not that bad. Like, Joe is not that bad of a person. And two, it also, I don't know, like subconsciously, it created conflict in me with Joe. So I felt like, okay, my relationship is better, but then at the same time, it made me look at Joe in a different way. Like, oh, would he do something like that too? Could that happen to us too? And it chipped away at me. It definitely changed the energy in our relationship. And I think that over time, it made me kind of bitter, because even though I thought Joe and my relationship was better than these other people's relationships and situations, I never talked to Joe about it. I never asked him, hey, babe, how do you think our relationship is? How do you think we're doing? Like, I mean, I would kind of randomly say stuff, but it wasn't like a real loving conversation. It was more, gosh, these people are crazy, you know? I can't imagine that would ever happen to us. It wasn't like, babe, I really appreciate you. Thank you for being amazing. Because if you remember, postpartum was like, F you, Joe, I don't really care. And then lastly, and this one was kind of unexpected, because I never saw this side. And it is that when I first started dating Joe, my parents were very picky. I brought home boys, like boys that were friends, not boyfriends, like friend boys. And I've brought home like guys that I was like kind of talking to, like we would make out. But I never brought home like a boyfriend. And my parents were very religious. They were very lovingly judgmental is what I would say, because they knew they wanted the best for me. They knew I deserved the best. And so anyone I brought home, it was instantly like, they're not good enough. I don't like them. Their energy's off. So when I brought home Joe, I was like, I hope they like him. And for the most part, they did. I mean, they had some questions. Like, Joe had his ears pierced, and my dad, I mean, I don't even have my ears pierced because my dad doesn't like jewelry. So, you know, that was kind of a strike. And, you know, Joe was, he's a little different. I mean, granted, we are both from mixed cultures. Both of our families are Air Force families. So there was that. But I think I was always trying to prove to my family that Joe was good enough. And in doing so, I think it set up like this crazy expectation for Joe to perform and to be everything and to not make mistakes and to be perfect. Because that was the expectation that I had for myself. Like, I had to be the perfect daughter. I had to be a good girlfriend. And it set up this like really crazy dynamic in our relationship. And I didn't really realize that until after the cheating, because he had said something like, I've never been good enough for you. And in the past, when he said that, I took it as, oh no, babe, you are good enough. But in that moment, I was like, wow, is that true? Like, is he not good enough? And then I was like, damn, is that something that I've believed, like in the back of my mind, that he's always not enough, that he's never been good enough? That's effed up. That's really messed up. That's a messed up situation to put someone in. And to compare him to my dad, who I absolutely adored for the majority of our relationship, who had passed away, you know, like 10 years or 9 years ago, and having to transition into, you know, my dad being everything and Joe being second, to, you know, my mom and sister being everything and Joe being second, or Banks being everything and Joe being second, and realizing that, wow, Joe has been second a lot, except maybe when we first started dating and I was like smitten. I was a smitten kitten and I didn't give a shit about nobody else. It was all about Joe. And then it wasn't. But you guys, I having that time to really reflect on our relationship and my role and my part and what I did and how I treated him, I didn't feel sorry for him, but I understood. I understood how feeling isolated in a relationship can push you to turn to someone else or to turn away. Or, you know, as Joe would say, you know, he did it to sabotage us because he could not be in that type of loveless relationship anymore. He could not be at a job where he's dealing with all of these people who I gave more attention to than I did to him or to Banks. And that's fair. That's fair because that's his truth. You can think that he's weak. You could think that that's a cop out. I don't care. Like, I understood him. And I didn't understand him because I love him. I understood him because he's a person. And I know how it feels like to feel isolated because I felt trapped too in my postpartum. And this is something that kind of goes with for better or for worse, because it's so easy to say, yeah, for better or for worse, totally. Like, I totally see that. But, you know, this was our worst. This was our worst. And it wasn't just one incident. It was this phase in our life, like from 2017 to 2020, that was our worst. And are we going to face our worst and continue on and try to see where it goes? Or are we going to face our worst and say it's over? Because if you're really thinking about a vow, if you're really thinking about a commitment that you made or that we made to each other, it's to stick together no matter what. No matter what. And yes, I hate that he cheated. Yes, I was effing beyond hurt by what he did. I would not wish this pain on anyone. However, I needed to have this wake-up call, you guys. I needed to have my eyes opened, and this is what it took for me. And it may not take this for you. You might be able to realize what you have before your life blows up in your face. I wasn't able to. I was in a really dark place, and I needed to wake up. I needed someone to grab me by the shoulders and shake me until like my eyes open and I could see clearly. And then to take those same arms that are shaking me crazily and to hug me and to love me and to say, okay, all right, let's move forward. What can we do now? And again, you guys, this is my perspective. This is how I feel I contributed to what happened. And I also have to be really honest right now. I thought about cheating too. And it wasn't like I thought about cheating after Joe cheated, like as revenge. No, when I was in that dark place of postpartum and we weren't having sex and we weren't talking and we weren't connecting, I needed the attention. I needed the affection. I needed the intimacy. And it got so bad, you guys, that I was willing to get it somewhere else. Like, not that I was like trolling on websites or like going to bars and picking up guys, but it was in my mind. It's something that I thought about. And I feel terrible about that. But had I been given the same circumstances as Joe, where I had someone who was like super interested and it was easily accessible, who knows what I would have done? Who knows where we would be right now if I would have taken those steps? I might have been the one who's on the other side, who's considered the bad guy, the cheater, who's looked down upon. But I'm not, because I didn't get to my breaking point before Joe did. And just because Joe reached his breaking point before me doesn't mean I wasn't on the same path, because I was. And in order for me to heal and move on, I have to honor the fact that Joe felt something that was similar to me. It wasn't like I was in this happy place and I thought our marriage was perfect. I wanted to believe that. I mean, I was desperately hoping people would believe we were perfect. I wanted people to think that we were put together and we knew what we were doing and talking about when it came to relationships and success. I wanted that, but it wasn't my truth. It wasn't. It was a lie. I was lying to myself. I was lying to other people. I was lying on social media. That's not, it was me, but it wasn't. It was like this painfully polished version, this like shiny rock that I wanted to present to the world. Like, I'm suffering, but I'm okay. Like, I'm hopeful, but I'm miserable. I don't know. And when Joe cheated, instantly my eyes opened and instantly I saw my truth. And as painful as it was to lose it all, as painful as it was to have to disconnect from this gym community that I loved and this job and this business that I nourished and nurtured and grew for 8 years, and to walk away from that and to not be able to tell everyone openly that Joe cheated, and to deal with moving out of my house and living with my mom, like, I needed it. Because when everything was stripped away, I was able to see Elsie. I was able to see myself. I was able to hear myself and connect with myself. And I had not done that. I don't know if I've ever done that. I don't know if I've ever really listened to myself. And that's why these podcasts are so powerful for me, because for so long, I felt like I haven't had a voice. My job for 8 years was listening. And before that, it was like helping people do other stuff, or helping my mom or helping my dad. It was not about helping me. And it's so beautiful, you guys, to be broken. It's so beautiful to look at your scars and be like, oh, this is the story of where I've been. This is the story of what I've been through. And yeah, some of the scars are still healing. They're not perfectly healed yet, but that's okay. That's the process. That's what we're doing here together. And thank you again. Thank you for giving me the space to share my story. And I hope something that I said today is helpful for you. I know I talk a lot. I know sometimes I ramble. You know, it's how it goes when you're in a room with a microphone and you got a lot on your mind. You want to talk about all of it. And sometimes it seems like it's too much, and sometimes it seems like it's not enough. But whoever this podcast, whoever this episode is meant for, I hope you got what you needed. And if you didn't get what you needed in this episode, I hope you tune in for the next one and the next one and the next one. Because as long as you guys are listening, I'm going to keep producing these, because your story could change someone else's life. And as dismal and dark as your life may seem, where you're at right now might be exactly where someone else wishes they could be. So share your story, you guys, however you feel comfortable. And if you're not ready yet, continue on your journey. Continue working on yourself. That's what life's about. So you guys, this is episode number 3. I hope you liked it. I hope it brought some value to your life and to your day. I wish you nothing but the best for the upcoming week. I hope you join in for the next episode. You know, I don't always know what I'm going to talk about. I let the spirit move me. I go with what my heart feels so that I can talk with passion and excitement. If you want to follow me on social media, you can find me at Wake Up Elsie on Instagram, or Wake Up or Break Up, which is where I post all of the podcast clips. Until next time, you guys, I will see you later. Bye.